Good afternoon, my friends, or good evening, whenever you watch this. Thank you for watching it. I would appreciate if you subscribe, hit the like button. We want to keep building the audience, and I appreciate your support very much, as I tell you every time I do one of these videos here on the Bernie Miklos Show on YouTube. I'm sorry I have not been responding to your excellent comments, which I always look forward to reading, but sometimes I just don't have time to get to them the way I want. Been dragging a little bit, so trying to avoid being a night owl too much at home at night. So I'll get back on the saddle and get to some of those and, you know, pick up the slack a little bit. Today I want to talk to you about Paul Goldschmidt, because Paul Goldschmidt's career as a Cardinal is coming to a close. The team did not they opted to not make him a qualifying offer. He's a free agent. We know that. And I would believe that, you know, for a while there was some of the talk was like, well, the Cardinals could bring him back on a short-term deal and at a price that really works for a team that's entering rebuilding. But that's not going to happen. Listen, Goldie ended this season at age 37 years old. He'll be 38 by the end of next season. And although he's still a viable major league player, in fact, I think he's probably overdue for a good season, because I think he's a strong bounce back candidate. And I'll talk about that later in the video. But the Cardinals are going in a new direction. Goldie would like to win a World Series. And I assume he would like to, you know, sign on with a winning team, a team that's got a chance to make the playoffs, good chance to make the playoffs, and then go from there. And there's quite a few teams that meet that standard. And I really didn't want to get into that today. I wanted to look back on his Cardinals career. And I want your opinion. What do you think about Paul Goldschmidt's experience as a St. Louis Cardinal? The Cardinals got him before the 2019 seasons. So 2019 season. So he was here for 6 years. There was a lot of good. There was a lot of disappointment because of the postseason. And I'm going to get into all that. But I want to know, so when you leave your comments, just please give me an idea, because maybe I'll do a follow-up on this. Just give me an idea about how you felt about Goldie in St. Louis. How much did you like him? How much did you enjoy him? How much did you respect him? Well, what did you like the most? What disappointed you the most? I think I know what that's going to be, because I've kind of tipped it off. Overall, the postseason was disappointing with Paul Goldschmidt around, and with one exception. We'll talk about that as we go along. He really performed well as a Cardinal in his 6 seasons. Yeah, he had a down year in 2024. We know all about that. But I'm talking about the body of work. The 6 years he wore the birds on the bat. That's what I'm judging here, not just one isolated season. The highlights, of course, he was voted National League MVP in 2022. He also received MVP votes in 3 other seasons as a Cardinal. So that means he was here 6 years. In 4 of the 6 years, he received MVP votes. That's really terrific. He won a Gold Glove. He won a Silver Slugger. He was selected to one All-Star team. He was a really good base runner. He was a really good hitter. He was a really good defender. And across the 6 seasons here as a Redbird, this very dedicated, quiet perfectionist, because that's what he is, Paul Goldschmidt, and a real class act. He led the Cardinals in home runs, runs batted in, runs scored, doubles, slugging, and OPS. He was also second in batting average and on-base percentage. So he certainly did enough to propel the Cardinals during the regular season. And in fact, with Goldschmidt as their first baseman, the Cardinals made the postseason 4 times in 6 years. They just didn't get much done once they got into the tournament. Among big league hitters during his 6 seasons in St. Louis, he ranked 10th in doubles, 14th in runs scored, 15th in RBIs, and 21st in home runs. He also put up, you know, for the whole 6 years, good slugging percentage, good on-base percentage, good batting average. And he put up a level of offense as a Cardinal over the 6 seasons that was 31% above the major league average offensively. So even though he fell off last year, he was slightly below average overall during his time in St. Louis, 31% above the league standard offensively. So the Cardinals, as I mentioned, they made it to the postseason 4 times. In his 6 seasons, but that postseason success was more elusive, and I'll get into the nitty-gritty of that in a couple of minutes. What about the Cardinals' overall performance, putting in the good with the bad or the bad with the good? This is an interesting stat to me. Over his six seasons, the Cardinals ranked ninth in the majors with a .528 winning percentage. But you've got to factor in the four postseason. So that's a good, that's the plus. The minus, you know, they tailed off his last couple years here, did make the playoffs. And the .528 winning percentage over the six seasons, nothing special. As I mentioned, ranked ninth in the majors. It's still top 10. So maybe I shouldn't be so snotty about it. It's still top 10. But here's the thing that was interesting. I was looking at, okay, what about the pre-Goldschmidt seasons, like 2016, 2017, 2018? The Cardinals never made the playoffs. But it's interesting because they had a .529 winning percentage, which was virtually the same. It was actually a point higher than their .528 winning percentage since he joined the band. So regular season winning percentage, pretty much the same team before he got there and after he got there. But the difference is making the playoffs four times in 6 years. The other thing about Goldie, I was looking at this in terms of regular season stuff. During his six seasons as a Cardinal, there are only seven major league players. I'm talking about hitters, position players, only seven major leaguers played in more winning games than Paul Goldschmidt. So I think he, all in all, I think he definitely was a regular season winner. I don't think there's any question about that. Even with the team falling apart in 2023, certainly wasn't his fault. And then he was part of the issue, part of the problem in 2024, even though the Cardinals rallied a bit and they finished 83-79. Not that that's any cause to have a celebration. Other than that 2022 major, that 2022 MVP campaign, and you have to forgive me for looking at notes because, as I tell you all the time, I can't memorize everything. If I tried, it'd be a mess. I'd be like rifling through papers anyway. So yeah, I know you don't mind me when I look down at my notes here. The highlight of his career in St. Louis was his barrage of offense in the five-game victory over the Braves back in the 2019 NLDS. Goldschmidt was outstanding, just outstanding in that series. Overall, in the five games, he hit .429. He had four doubles, two homers. He slugged .905. And I was looking at this, too. In the three games that they won, in the three games that they won in that series to move to the next round, Goldschmidt was 7-for-13. That's a .538 batting average. He had three doubles, a couple of homers. He scored five runs, some RBIs in there, of course. So I'm just saying, in my sense of fairness, overall, the postseason disappointment was pretty profound. There's no doubt about that. Pardon me. But it's ridiculous to say, well, he never did anything in the postseason. He played a major role in winning them that NLDS. And that, you know, just a reminder, that's been their only postseason round in the winning column since the end of the 2014 postseason. That was the only series they've won, and he was phenomenal in that series. So, you know, you got to recognize the good, even though there was a lot of bad with Goldie in the postseason. So what happened after that? Well, the Cardinals went into the NLCS in 2019 against all those great Washington starting pitchers, or most of them were. Goldie in that series, 1-for-16 with nine strikeouts. 1-for-16 with nine strikeouts. The Cardinals as a team didn't hit, but he's supposed to be one of their big guys, right? In 2020, you know, it was a convoluted season. It was a weird season because of the COVID and no fans in the ballpark, and they changed the postseason format, you know, 100%. It's just, it's hard for me to take much of that too seriously, but they lost to the Padres in a best of three. They lost the third game and lost the series. He was pretty good in that series, I must say, 3-for-13, but he had two home runs and a double. So his three hits were extra base hits, but they lost, and that's it. Once we get past that Atlanta victory, and Goldie's role in that, in his final 10 postseason games for the Redbirds after that Atlanta win. He was 5-for-39. That's a 128 batting average. He had a horrendous 37% strikeout rate. And the Cardinals lost 9 of the 10 games. Overall, the Cardinals were 4-11 in the postseason with Goldie as their first baseman. And see, that's a big mark on his record. Not the kind of mark you want. I don't know if I call it an F, but let's say it's a D minus for sure. And I think that's fair to say, because even though Goldschmidt did some outstanding things for the Cardinals in his 6 seasons, I do think it's fair to say you look at it overall, and I think you got to put it down in the book as disappointing because of that glaring lack of postseason success. It wasn't all on him. It was on ownership. It was on the front office. It was on a lot of other players. But still, he's the guy. That's one of the reasons they brought him here. He's one of the best players in the game. And after that Atlanta series in 2019, Goldie really came up short. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Yeah, again, I'm noting that he did a couple things in that San Diego series in 2020. But overall, man, like I said, 5-for-39 is 5-for-39. And that's what he did in his final 10 games, Cardinals, in the postseason. And I'm repeating myself, so forgive me, but they only won 1 of the 10 games. And his failure to hit certainly was paramount in that failure. Starting in 2021, and it's the other thing, it isn't just Goldie. It's Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, right? You got to look at them together once they became teammates. And I think I've mentioned this before, so I know you won't mind me putting this in here again, because we're sort of closing the book on the Goldschmidt-Arenado era. I don't know that 4 seasons is an era, but whatever. They were together for 4 seasons in St. Louis. It was a very prestigious pairing. It was really exciting. It started in 2021 when they became teammates first year. The Cardinals had the best first baseman, third baseman combination in the majors for a couple of years, but not all 4 years, and certainly not in the postseason. So here I go again on that. But just a reminder, despite all of their individual awards, accolades, the fact they're both heralded, and overall impressive numbers during the regular season, body of work, their defense, their elite status in general within the game, Arenado and Goldie were as teammates. There's no other way to put it. They were liabilities in their 2 postseasons together, 2021 and 2022. In their 3 postseason games as teammates, lost to the Dodgers in the 2021 wild card game. Then the next year, they met the Phillies in the wild card round. They blew the 2-0 lead in game 1, lost that one, and then lost the next night at Busch Stadium, and that was it. They were gone. So in their 3 postseason games as teammates, the Cardinals were 0-3. Goldschmidt were, in those 3 games, were 2-for-22. That's a 0. That's an .091 batting average. And together, they struck out about 28% of the time, and they were 0-for-9 with the runners in scoring position. Again, a while back, I know I put that stuff in a video, but I think, again, we need to repeat it just to make sure you understand why I'm considering it to be tremendously disappointment. Tremendously disappointing, because I think we all thought they got Goldie, that's great. They got Arenado, that's great. You put those 2 together, and the Cardinals are going to have a chance to do some incredible things. They may even be able to go get another National League pennant. Who knows? They may even go win a World Series. Never happened. Didn't come close to happening, really. And those 2 guys who were brought in to basically be the new stars of this franchise in the post-Pujols and Molina era, even though they played with both of those guys in 2022, you know, they did not pick up the torch. If Molina and Pujols were passing them the torch, they dropped the torch. A lot of people did, but those 2 were the stars, so that's why I put them in a different category. It's really hard for me to overlook that the fact in their 3 postseason games, all losses, 2-for-22, 28% strikeout rate, 0-for-9 with the runners in scoring position. The Cardinals scored only four runs in those three defeats. And pretty much all of those games were winnable, to say the least. So it's hard for me to downplay that. I'm certainly not going to overlook it because October is what it's all about. Yeah, you got to get to October. And I've beaten that point home many, many, many times. I never sneer at a fact that a team consistently makes the playoffs because that's the first step. The last time I checked Major League Baseball rules, I probably have to go back in the rule book. You can't win in the postseason unless, you know, you get there. So it's not a minor thing. It's not the end all be all, but it's not a minor thing. You got to make the most of it though. And the Cardinals, as we know, have not done that in a long time. So Goldschmidt's all but officially gone. I mean, I'm all going to say he's gone. And the Cardinals may even, as we talked about in a recent video about Nolan Arenado, what are you going to do? They're going to explore the idea of trading Arenado if he wants to disengage and go to a contender. He'll be 34 early next season. He's already in decline, and such a deal, however, would be hard to execute. We've talked about it because of Arenado's advancing age, because his decline offensively and even defensively, and all the money owed on his contract, plus he's got a no-trade clause. So it would not be a simple deal. There's a lot of obstacles in the way. We'll see what happens. Goldie declined a lot last year. You know, if you look in 2024, if you use OPS plus, he was 2% below league average offensively. And he, you know, in terms of his own personal standards, I mean, he was down in batting average, on base percentage, way down in slugging percentage. And it just wasn't a good year for him. And, you know, he only finished the season with 1.1 wins above replacement. In 2022, the year that he won the MVP, he was tied for fourth in the majors, 6.8 wins above replacement. 2 years later, which was 2024, only 1.1 WAR, as we call it. Can he bounce back? See, I think there's going to be a lot of teams interested in him. I really do. What happens if Pete Alonso goes somewhere? Don't you think the Mets are going to want to look into Goldie? If Rhys Hoskins, and I want to apologize right now for this because I didn't check to see about whether Hoskins has made a decision on what to do in Milwaukee because he can opt out his contract after one season. So I do really sincerely want to apologize. I forgot to look that up today. So you probably know the answer and I don't. But if Milwaukee needed a first baseman, Goldschmidt certainly would catch their eye. Our friend Bob Nightingale of USA Today even had a note to that effect saying the Brewers are monitoring the Goldschmidt situation in St. Louis. They have a lot of interest in him. And I believe that. I mean, Arizona could have, because if Greg Walker leaves as a first baseman, the guy who succeeded Goldie there at first base when he came to St. Louis, Goldie, I'm sure, would love to return in Arizona. That's where he started. He would be treated like returning royalty. He would have a chance, a better chance to win there than in some other places. Then you look on, you know, what if Anthony Rizzo is done in New York? I mean, the Yankees have an option on his contract for 2025, $17, $18 million. What if they decline that option? Maybe the Yankees would be in the hunt. A lot of people think Cincinnati could be looking at him because they could use a first baseman. Seattle looks like a likely contender because they need offense. So he will not, Paul Goldschmidt will not have a hard time finding a job and a good one. And probably with a team that's got a chance to have immediate success in 2025. So the Cardinals are, you know, entering this rebuilding phase. They need to find out about players that they have and what their future is at first base. This is what 2025 is all about, determining what do we have. Is this going to be a crew that we go forward with? What are we going to do at first base? What combinations can we try there? Who are we going to give the first shot to? Do we set up a platoon? See, there's a lot of things to sort out in 2025 for the Cardinals, and the first base position obviously is one of those things. So one more thing, because I mentioned it, you know, could he bounce back? And I think he could. And I have also talked about this a couple of times. I don't think I talked about it on a video. I think I wrote about it. Over his final 54 games in 2024, Goldschmidt hit 283. He had a 333 on base percentage. That's not bad. And he slugged 485. So his OPS was over 800, 818. And he also lowered his strikeout rate during that time. And then if you go to the StatCast profile, and I know the StatCast stuff isn't for everybody, but I'm just pointing out some things that carry legitimacy. His hard hit rate was nearly 49%. He was in the top 8% of all major league hitters. He was in the top 18% in average exit velocity. He barreled enough pitches to finish in the top 27% of all major league hitters. So there's some stuff there that tells you, absolutely tells you, that a bounce back is not any kind of long shot. I'm not going to say it's probable. I'm just saying I think there's more of a chance of that happening, especially he gets into a more hitter-friendly, hitter-cozy ballpark. Stay out of Seattle then, Goldie. You don't want to go there. You put Goldie in Cincinnati or Milwaukee, you know all those times Goldie went into Milwaukee, just wrecked the place? You know, there's anybody can hit in Yankee Stadium. So you get him out of Busch and you get him into one of these cozier ballparks where the ball flies, Goldie could have a bounce back season, and then that'll give all of us and all of you a chance to whine about how the Cardinals should have never let him go. And I told you, you know, I told you. No, you didn't. I'm sorry, man. I'm just teasing. Because we're also, including me, we're also obsessed with former Cardinals that anytime they have like a 2-for-4 game, you go on Twitter or X or whatever the hell it's called, and it's just people are just losing their minds, you know. So that's life in St. Louis as a baseball fan until the Cardinals actually get back in the playoffs and start winning postseason games again. When that will be, I don't know. The bad stuff about last year, his strikeout walk ratio has just gone upside down. Too many strikeouts, really surprisingly low walk rate that's really gone down. He used to draw a lot of walks. That's no longer the case. Only 11 big league hitters made more outs than Paul Goldschmidt in 2024. A lot of that had to do with the drop in batting average, which had some bad batted ball luck. But a lot of it also had to do with the fact he doesn't walk nearly as much as he used to. And, of course, the low point of Goldie's season in 2024, he only hit 203 with a 280 slugging percentage with runners in scoring position, and his strikeout rate was nearly 30%. So when we look at the biggest problem the Cardinals had offensively, right, the biggest problem they had offensively in 2024, couldn't hit a lick with runners in scoring position. If that was their biggest problem as an offense, the biggest problem with runners in scoring position in that offense, the biggest problem in the big problem was Paul Goldschmidt. And you can't dance away from those stats, even though sometimes runners in scoring position stats tend to be random. But that's another reason why it's possible for Goldie to come back strong for somebody next year. Listen, I thought it was really cool to have him here 6 years. Really one of the better players of his era. I don't think there's any doubt that he is on a Hall of Fame track. And if he signs somewhere else for a couple years at a place where, again, they give him a chance to put up good numbers simply because of the ballpark effects, ballpark environment, he can pad some stats. He can maybe help a team get into the playoffs, win around, go far. Who knows? But he's a Hall of Fame talent, and he's got a Hall of Fame career just about there, when, especially, you know, the fact that he won that MVP award. My purpose here today is not to talk about his Hall of Fame case. There will be a time for that. But he's in good shape is all I'll say, and I study this stuff a lot. But it was really, really cool to have him here, and I appreciated many things about him. He was not the ideal leader, but not because he was a guy that didn't want to help teammates. He would help teammates anytime they wanted help or they came to him. He would tell them if he saw something. But he was not someone who believed that his personal style, that he would be really forward and really aggressive and sort of intervene on things, take charge on things. That's just not his style. You got to be who you are. I mean, I'm not making excuses for him, to the contrary, because I think that was the most disappointing thing about Goldschmidt and Arenado combined in their 4 years together. The two of them together should have been strong leaders, but they were not. They just weren't. And there's no reason for me to duck that or to put a little shine, a little polish on it. because we don't want to say anything negative about. No, I don't roll that way, man. I'm fair, but I also don't sit here and gloss over stuff. But it was cool to have him here, and that's about the fifth time I've said that now in the last minute. And you know, Goldschmidt fits into Cardinals history. I'm not sure where he fits. And let me ask you this: he did play six seasons here. He did win an MVP. He did win some individual awards. He was a part of four postseason teams. Is that a Cardinals Hall of Famer to you? I think it is, but I'm not in the mood to like debate that today, if you'll forgive me, because that's going to be another discussion down the road. I think he's got the credentials to be a Cardinals Hall of Famer, but I am not going to sit here and pound my desk and say, well, he is absolutely a Cardinal Hall of Famer. Not going to do that. I think he's got a case. I think he does have enough to make it, but it isn't one of those, oh, slam dunk, no doubt about it. Put him in, boom, boom, boom. Listen, this is another video for another day. Until Edgar Renteria is in there, I'm not sure why there would be a rush to put Paul Goldschmidt in there. He's going to be eligible for a long time anyway. Edgar Renteria, another video for another time. Edgar Renteria had one of the more underrated Cardinals careers, period. And I am happy to lay that out and explain it to you. You can go in the comments, the comments saying, you say, oh, you're nuts? Are you crazy? Edgar Renteria, what a joke. Yeah. Very, very strong case to be a Cardinals Hall of Famer. Not Cooperstown. St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame. A lot of good things there. So there's some people that's maybe on a slow day. I'll revisit that. Some people that I think should be in the Cardinals Hall of Fame, right? I'll be happy to go into that because I'm on that that committee that screens candidates. And I am Mr. Research, as you know. So anyway, that's all what I got today. But I'm really curious in terms of knowing what you think about Paul Goldschmidt in two things. Number one, what did you think of his time in St. Louis? Overall, did you enjoy it? Overall, do you respect them? Do you respect them? But you can't help but be very disappointed that there wasn't more to show from a team standpoint as far as postseason success and his individual failures in the postseason. That's number one. Number two, do you think he is a Cardinals Hall of Famer? You'd have to do some work on that maybe to come up with a more solid opinion that would back up your case one way or the other. But again, we can do that at another time. But I am curious about your initial response to that. Anyway, that's all we're going to do today. I appreciate you all very much. Thank you for watching. And we'll be back tomorrow with another video here on the Bernie Miklas Show on YouTube. Thank you.